According to Chuck Swindoll, it's impossible to remain complacent about the second coming of our Lord. The return of Jesus Christ to earth either strikes fear or ignites joy, one or the other. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck continues his in-depth study in the book of 1 John. It's a series we're calling Living Right in a Wrong World. And during the next half hour, you'll be challenged to consider your response to this upcoming global event, commonly known as the Second Coming. Chuck Swindoll has titled today's message with a question: Our Lord's return, what then?
Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, written by our friend who's written this letter, aging John the Apostle, speaks to us affectionately as he analyzes Christ's appearing. Twice in the section we're looking at refers to when he appears. See verse 28, little children, abide in him so that when he appears. Again in verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared what we will be. We know that when he appears. So it's talking about that event that is immediately on the horizon. No other event needs to transpire on this earth for which that event awaits. It is the next event in the future. Could happen at any moment. All the old cares of this earth are passed away and we're taken forever to be with the Lord. Verse 28, he begins with an important command. Little children, abide in him. It's a present imperative, so it's saying keep on abiding. Keep on abiding. Keep on walking in the Spirit. The best way I've ever heard it described is a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. All you got to do is abide. Just abide. Just keep on doing what you've been doing. That'll help you be ready for it. The point is, you will not shrink. How good is this? You will not shrink in shame when you are abiding. So this brings us to the reassuring reminder. Look closely. So that when he appears, by abiding, you will now be ready. This is a purpose clause. You abide for the purpose that when he appears, you will have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Literally, the Greek says, in the presence. Isn't that wonderful? You will not shrink away in shame in the presence. You and I have been in the presence of great people, but we have never been in a presence like this. This will be a presence that will leave you stunned, silent, lost in wonder and love and praise. When he appears and we're caught up with him, we prepare ourselves for that moment with confidence, knowing that event is sure to occur. Then who shrinks away at his coming? Those who weren't prepared. Back to you who have never trusted in Christ. No wonder it terrifies you. No wonder you're frightened with the thought. Or if you're a believer and you're living in the flesh, no wonder you fear the thought of his coming and calling you to be with himself. Well, the thought continues in verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, and then you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. There it is. If you've been born anew, make certain that that's taken place in your life. There's nothing more important than your being sure that you have a new birth. You've been born the first time from your mother. You're born a second time spiritually by placing your faith and trust in Christ. This causes John to burst forth in words of wonderment and praise. He starts with the word, look. Look at that kind of love from the Father, that he has bestowed it on us. That we, how do we know he loves us? He calls us his children. that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. And this statement of wonderment is followed by a glorious promise. That's in verse 2. Beloved, see, this is for the believer. This is the comfort that the believer has. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Let's don't go any further. There are parts of the future life that we don't know much of it. But this much is clear. Look at verse 2. But we know this, that when he appears, we will be like him. Isn't that great? That's what it means to be glorified. Let me show you what that means. Hold your place and look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 of chapter 15. He begins with another announcement. Behold, look, I tell you a mystery. We're in 1551. We will not all sleep. Now, what does that refer to? Death, the death of a believer. There we have it. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. How long will it take? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's the flash of light across the eye, how the light will sometimes flash across an eyeball. It's not even the batting of an eye, it's the flash of light, the twinkling of an eye. Here it is again, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. Remember reading this earlier? The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. He adds this, for, explains it now, perishable must put on imperishable, and mortal must put on immortality. Why? Why is it necessary for this bag of bones to be changed into immortality? Because it's a bag of bones, and it's getting baggier. You got everything you used to have, but it's now 4 inches lower. So you're just sagging. You're just wrinkling. You just, little by little, you're wearing away. You're decaying. It's called perishable. Perishable. But at this moment, we will put on imperishable. The skin will finally look like you wanted it to look all your life. No cosmetics. You won't need them. Perfect. The perishable must put on the imperishable. The mortal must put on immortality. When this perishable will have put on imperishable, when this mortal will have put on immortality, then, I love that, when then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Shakespeare didn't write that. He stole it from Paul. The grave has no sting. The grave, not even death, has lasting jaws. Thanks be to God, verse 57, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Now back to verse 2 of 1 John 3. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Sandy Patty, back years ago in the 80s, made popular around the world Dottie Rambo's song, We Shall Behold Him. And for many of us, it's one of our favorites still to this day. We shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. At that point, nothing else will matter. At that point, all of the cares and worries and struggles and problems, all of the deterioration, all of the disabilities, how great this will be, all of the blind will see, all the lame will walk. And we'll see him and we will be like him. For we will see him as he is. Lost in wonder, love, and praise. For For the first time in all of time, standing on the brink of eternity, there will be a miraculous internal change. And the soul spirit will emerge in a new body. And like unto our Savior, we will populate heaven. I read this past week that a massive block of white marble was finally placed before the 16th century Italian sculptor Michelangelo. He smiled. He walked around this block of marble as he said to himself, looking at this shapeless mass, "My, isn't it beautiful?" One of his helpers standing nearby with no vision for such said, "Well, all I see is a big block of marble. That's all." To which the genius replied, "Oh, I forgot. You don't see what I see. I see David in there." "Well, I don't see him," said the helper. "Well, that's because he is now in my own mind, but I am going to translate him into this piece of marble." And then he began to chip away, and how did he know how to do it? One wag said he just chipped away everything that didn't look like David. How will our Lord make us like himself? He'll just take away everything that doesn't look like him. Isn't that great? Doesn't that give you hope? Everyone who has this hope fixed on him, look at this, purifies himself just as he is pure. Here's a fixed hope. It results in an ethical and moral purity when you fix your hope on the Savior's return. This isn't just a theological truth to stand on and to live by. This is ethical, practical, personal counsel. You will purify yourself. Christ returns, seeing him face to face, knowing you'll be changed inside out, spending eternity with him. You will experience, as you focus on that, an internal cleansing. Sin will not seem that attractive. This is not a ceremonial cleansing. This is a moral cleansing. Temptation will not seem nearly as alluring when you have focused on your Savior's return at any moment. What a grand series of verses, and this ends with, "We will be pure just as he is pure." It starts with a command, abide. It includes a word of reassurance, confidence. Confidence at his coming. It reaches its zenith with wonder. His love is bestowed on us. It reminds us of the promise that we will be like him. There will be a likeness. And it concludes the climax. The value of such a fixed hope is purity. Purity. In my own life, when I have drifted into areas I have no business messing around with, or when my lips have spoken things they had no business saying, I can be sure as I trace my steps, I lost focus on the imminent return of the Savior. There's something pure about that focus. Let's end this message differently, all right? Take your hymnal and turn to number 755. While I was concentrating on how best to conclude a message such as this one, it occurred to me that we have right here before us Dottie Rambo's marvelous lyrics. We're going to read the two stanzas, and then after we've read the second stanza, we'll read the refrain. And I don't want you to just sit there and let someone else read it for you. I want your lips, your eyes to connect with these words. Let's do this together. "We shall behold him." Here we go. "The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him then face to face. The angel shall sound the shout of his coming. The sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place, and those who remain shall be changed in a moment, and we shall behold him then face to face. And we shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. Oh, we shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face, our Savior and Lord. And we shall behold him, our Savior and Lord. Just sit quietly for a few moments following this time of prayer. We anticipate that moment, and may it be this very day, our Father, when your Son is dispatched from heaven and gathers us up in the clouds to meet him in the air, when our loved ones, all those who have gone before us, all the saints, all the martyrs, all the men and women of God, when we're caught up with them in the clouds, that epical moment, nothing else will matter but Jesus Christ, whom we shall behold face to face. In his matchless name, in his glorious name, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud. The angels
Powerful way to conclude today's message in 1 John about our Lord's return. You're listening to Insight for Living, and the music was performed by renowned recording artist Sandy Patty, We Shall Behold Him. Chuck Swindoll's sermon today is message number 9 in a 16-part series called Living Right in a Wrong World. For information on related resources, so you can dig deeper on your own, go to insightworld.org. Americans who are accustomed to gathering with friends and family to celebrate Independence Day are finding this coming weekend quite unusual. The global pandemic has dramatically curtailed our traditional outdoor activities. And yet many in our listening family have talked about using their newfound free time to read, listen, and learn. In that spirit, let me point you to a mini-series by Chuck Swindoll that addresses a relevant subject. It's called Loving One Another. This set features two messages on Romans 12, on which Chuck addresses how the church can demonstrate God's love in tangible and meaningful ways. To purchase a CD copy of Loving One Another, or to download the MP3s, go to insight.org/offer. Or call us if you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Perhaps it goes without saying that the coronavirus has imposed financial challenges on us all, including this nonprofit ministry. And we're asking every listener to participate by giving a generous gift. To support this ministry with a donation, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. You can also give online at insight.org. And then finally, as we enter the weekend, remember, you're invited to join the online worship service at Stonebriar Community Church, where Chuck Swindoll is senior pastor every Sunday morning. If you happen to miss the live release, you'll discover we keep a collection of past messages there as well. For all the details on streaming the video, go to insight.org/Sundays. Most of us have been heartbroken to witness civil unrest in the public square, eclipsing the urgent medical needs imposed by the global pandemic. At Insight for Living Ministries, we believe there's never been a better time to extend God's grace to those in need.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
We're looking to add more monthly companions to the team. Become a monthly companion today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
To become a monthly companion, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Chuck Swindoll defines what he calls that nasty three-letter word Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Our Lord's Return, What Then?, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.